The euphoria of millions of people in Egypt 3 years ago, shouting for their freedom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. شعب مصر العظيم.
Has become once again the voice of a general, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, attempting to restore order, if not democracy, anytime soon. In the interim, an election, the ouster of an elected leader, and considerable violence have all been part of the troubled narrative of Egypt's emergence from dictatorship. When the international media largely left Cairo in 2011, skilled filmmakers and Egyptians Jahan Nujaim and Karim Amer stayed to tell the deeper story of Egypt's struggle to give birth to a democracy it has never known.
I grew up in an Egypt where you couldn't speak with people on the street about politics because people were worried about who they might be speaking to. So to enter this square where you had men, women, all different classes, debating and talking about the future of Egypt and feeling like they had a hand in their future was absolutely magical. So that's why I stayed and started filming.
And Jahan, did you feel as though the euphoria was concealing a darker reality that Egyptians were going to have to ultimately confront?
Well, I think that we felt that feeling quite strongly after Mubarak stepped down, because the 18 days before Mubarak stepped down was a little like a fairy tale. But once he left, most people in the square left, most of the cameras left, all of the international cameras left and went on to make other news stories. The local news cameras left, and what was left were a few people in a square basically saying that, yes, Mubarak has stepped down, but that's just, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's still the secret police in place. The rest of Mubarak's government is still in power. And so that's where you really got to the core of people who said that this fight and this effort to change things is going to take a really long time.
What is that departure of cameras to either one of you? What is that departure of cameras by the international media say about the international media's understanding both of Egypt and of democracy itself?
I think that the power of the international media was that all of a sudden when the world attention came on and was glued to the television screens across the world watching that square, that attention leveled the playing field, because then it became a fight between the Egyptian protesters supported by the international community and the international audiences. And when that happened, they were able to beat the dictator. And I think that that was a magical moment, and it showed this interconnected power of witness that we have in the world today. Now, the counter to that is that we also have this fairy tale of how change happens. You know, and as Jahan was saying, we're kind of stuck in this change's greatest hits, where we just see, you know, the highlights of the change, but we don't actually look at the process. We don't actually look at the dark moments, the lonely moments, the time when nobody was paying attention. And I think that, you know, our experience is very reflective of that.
How did you keep those hopeless moments and lonely moments and dark moments from turning the film into essentially a, well, forget about that democracy business. That's a waste of time.
I mean, the amazing thing about following characters is that you're following people who you relate to and who make you laugh and who see the difficulty but also the sense of humor in situations. And that's what we really looked for when we were making this film, because by following Khaled, Ahmed, Magdi, you're following a street poet, you're following somebody who has a very conflicted relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood, you're following an actor that could have been any place in the world but decided to stay in that square. And so you're following a real human story behind these politics.
And what was incredible about those characters was really the fact that despite them coming from completely different backgrounds and walks of life, they're tied together because all three of them are unwilling to compromise on some very core fundamentals that they believe are essential for the future of the country. And I think that it's that relentless spirit and that unwillingness to give up their voice, their right to have a sense of authorship in the future of the country, despite all of the difficulties and hurdles that the movement goes through. I think that was an incredible experience for us to capture and to witness, because it kept us going.
Does it mean that because of the situation in Egypt right now, that your film is a part of the past, that essentially those stories have become, in a sense, a part of the fairy tale as Egypt is now going through an even deeper sense of aimlessness and loss and where do we go from here?
Well, I think if I've learned anything in the last few years, it really is that you have to believe in the impossible. And if you talk to each one of them, even Mehdi, who is our Muslim Brotherhood character who is currently in hiding, he will say, we are not going backwards. We're not going back to a time before 3 years ago when people were afraid. There's a genie that's been let out of the bottle, and there's a consciousness that has changed. This revolution has happened in waves, and we've seen the very dark moments of that wave, and we've seen high moments of it. And if you talk to Khalid right now, he would say that there is a third wave coming, and that the people are still there. They still have hope. They're still on the ground. They just know that it's going to be a very long road ahead of them.
Thinking about your characters and thinking about the uncertain path forward for Egypt right now, particularly with so much violence in the Middle East, I think of Syria and Ukraine, not in the Middle East, but again, places where the path forward is unclear. Would you say one of the lessons from your characters is that bravery is a form of realism if you really want freedom?
You know, there's a battle of narratives that's happening where these societies that have these very deep, long-standing, rigid structures that are in place have been the storytellers that have controlled the bulk of population's trajectory. And I think that what's happening with a lot of young people today is with the interconnectedness that we live in today's world and the power of the internet, we're able to connect to people beyond our geographic borders and find better stories and realize that, you know, we don't want to be stuck in these stories anymore. We want to write our own stories, and we have a right to do so. And in Egypt, to talk about, you know, where we come from, it's not just a fight between, you know, 30 years against Mubarak dictatorship or 60 years of military rule. We're talking about 5,000 years of pharaonic rule where, you know, the Egyptian citizen does not have a sense of authorship. And I think that's why it's such a difficult fight.
Do you think the Muslim Brothers will have a role in a future Egyptian democracy, Jahan?
I think the Egyptian Brotherhood has to have a role. They are a part of Egyptian society. They've existed for a very long time. And unless it's an inclusive process, you know, the country won't move forward in the way that it needs to, and there will be continued violence. The biggest step that we have to take, I believe, in Egypt is an inclusive country which respects the rights and the dignity of every Egyptian citizen, no matter who they are, where they come from. And that is still an ongoing struggle.
Jahan and Karim, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jahan Najam and Karim Amer are director and producer of the Oscar-nominated documentary The Square. To see a video clip of The Square, visit thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.